No doubt, we've been on a wild, energetic ride lately. And the question is it over yet? Is May more the same or something totally different? Today, I'm joined by an all-star astrologer to explore this question and walk us through the most important transits for the month of May. Make sure you stay until the end for personalized insights you can take with you all month as we do an overview for your sun and rising sign. With me here today is coach, astrologer, teacher, podcast host, and our inner circle astrologer for the Taurus lunar cycle, Celeste Brooks. Celeste, welcome back to the Astrology Hub podcast. I've heard rumors of good things about this month's astrology, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So let's start with the overarching theme for May. What would you say that is?
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
I would say that the overarching theme for May is simplicity and integration. We just had this big, intense eclipse season where the Chiron wound was activated and we had Mercury retrograde and a lunar eclipse in Scorpio. So what has happened for many people is that some hard truths had come up to our conscious attention about ourselves, about that core wound from when we're children, because Aries is the sign of I know. And Scorpio encourages us, invites us, and sometimes forces us, this full moon, to face our shadows as things are illuminated. So this has been a lot for a lot of people. And this is a beautiful opportunity as we move into Taurus season, where there's this practicality, slower energy, taking one step in front of the other in order to simplify our lives as we integrate and focus on, you know, one or two things that we want to take action on rather than overdo things with too much.
Oh gosh, this is music to my ears. Celeste, do you know anyone? I mean, I know you're a consulting astrologer, so you do a lot of readings. Do you know anyone who kind of like breezed through that eclipse season and came out the other side totally unaffected and kind of clueless about why we were all making a big deal out of it? Or did you consistently hear from people that they've gone through some challenging times?
So many people have gone through challenges in different ways, but yes, it has been a lot for people. And even if they don't have a specific event in their own lives, look out what's going on in the collective. The energy has just been very chaotic for people who have any kind of sensitivity to others around them. Definitely have been feeling it. Absolutely.
I can definitely say that the theme of simplicity and integration is what I'm craving. And I'm so grateful that the astrology is actually mirroring that and giving us some space to really make what we've learned and what's come to our awareness, like bring it in and make it stick, you know, not just like breeze on to the next thing and get busy again and totally forget about it all. So you're saying focus on one or two things and do whatever you can to keep things more simple and take the time and space you need to integrate.
Yes absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we are going to walk through the major transits of May. There aren't very many transits noted. We always ask the astrologers for a list of the most important transits before these episodes. And I noticed that there's not a whole lot going on in the very beginning of May. Is that because there's nothing really happening? Or is that just because the rest of the month has more important things?
It's the rest of the month has more important things, but stuff is happening at the beginning. We start on May 1st with a last quarter moon in Aquarius. So the sun is in Taurus, the moon is in Aquarius, it's fixed energy. And something that's really interesting about it, Venus has just arisen to her throne in the sign of Taurus, which is absolutely beautiful. This is where she loves to be. And Venus in Taurus is the Empress archetypal energy, the Earth Mother. It's very sensual, encouraging us to have pleasure, enjoy the simple things in life, slow down, be receptive. But something about it is when Venus goes into Taurus, the first thing she does is square Pluto, which is in Aquarius. So, and this is in effect at that last quarter moon. So there will still be things coming to our conscious attention of a Plutonian nature about Venus topics. So we can think about self-esteem as a Venus topic because Venus compares. And oftentimes when we compare, we come up feeling lacking because Pluto brings our shadows up. Yeah, this is like disfigurations and beauty is something that's coming to mind. Or trying to keep up with the Joneses and putting too much energy into the material things may come to people's conscious attention. And that is maybe part of healing that wound that Aries season eclipses brought up for you. So these are some of the things that's going on with Venus. And then Mars has entered the sign of Aries, where Mars is at home and can do Mars well, which is to strive, achieve, go for what you want, and initiate things in a way that is hopefully productive. But Mars can also is the planet of conflict, and Aries is a god of war. So you want to make sure that as you're moving forward, you want to lean into the beauty of Venus and balance it out with Mars. And they're both really strong. So it's something that can really happen for you.
Well, and with what you said in the beginning about keeping things simple and taking time to integrate, will that be harder to do because we have Mars and Aries kind of, and also Mercury direct, right? Kind of making us maybe want to move forward. How do we balance those things?
I think knowing it's in your conscious attention that this is the energy can help you with the balance. Because the last quarter moon, the moon's white light is waning. And really, it's the crisis of consciousness and the psychological integration of the moon cycle. So there's encouragement to slow down. Now, you can just go charging forward, but being aware and talking to yourself, you can say, pause, smell the roses, don't be impulsive. These are the things you can be telling yourself. Be productive is a Taurus word. The sun in Taurus is encouraging us to take one step in front of the other rather than go off like a rocket.
Okay. All right. So you brought up Chiron when we first started talking because Chiron was so activated by that eclipse that we just experienced. On May 6th, we have Mercury conjunct Chiron for the third time. So can you talk to us about this and what this might bring up for us?
Yes. So Mercury rules communication and all of our thought processes. And during eclipse season, it was retrograde. And Mercury is direct and honest and straightforward and blunt. So many people had some truths come to light that may have been like a little jarring. And Mercury met Chiron two times before. And the dates are March 20th. It met Chiron at 18 Aries. And then Mercury went retrograde. And as a planet's retrograde, it can kind of start careening and bring up disagreements and conflicts and all sorts of things. On April 15th, Mercury retrograde was conjunct Chiron at 19 Aries. And on May 6th, direct at 21 Aries. So there may be a story. And these are the three dates that you may have had an event, a pivot point, and now it's the psychological integration of what knowledge and information and thoughts came to you in your conscious attention. You may have had events or may have been all internal.
So when we're talking about Chiron, we're talking about sort of core wounds, right? So the way that we've thought about our core wounds, the way that we've maybe communicated from our core wounds, is that how we can put the Mercury piece together with the Chiron piece?
Yes, yes. And you can think about, if you know your chart, where do you have Chiron natally? What sign and what house? And both of those together speak to what the wound is. And for some people, it's more pronounced if you have Chiron conjunct a planet or conjunct one of the angles, like your ascendant or your midheaven. And most people, if they've thought about it, they're like, yeah, this has been an issue. I never felt as good as my siblings, if it's in Gemini potentially, or if it's in Pisces, there's like can be like a spiritual wound about belief systems. I mean, you could go through all the signs and houses and get to it. But Aries is the sign of the self. And with these Mercury Chiron conjunctions, it's really pushing us to think about our own core wounds or core Chiron thing, which never totally heals. But as we get older and grow and learn from it, we can use that information to help heal others. Chiron was a healer and a teacher. And we can teach others about, okay, I went through this, this is what I learned. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it, Celeste. Do you also find that the awareness that we get from that Chiron wounding and knowing what that is can also help us not inadvertently act from that place? Meaning,
yes,
like, we know it's there, so we're more aware and less likely to be creating situations in our lives from that wound.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And maybe you learn during eclipse season how you do that. And maybe something, I had myself an event where, okay, I'm an astrologer. I talk about this stuff all the time. And I acted from my Chiron wound in a way that was hurting and healing at the same time, which Chiron can do. But it brought it to my conscious attention. And I think in the long run, it'll be really beautiful for me to realize this little piece is still hurting and work on it.
Great. The next transit we were going to talk about is on May 18th, Jupiter Kazemi. So the sun conjunct Jupiter. Tell us about this and why it's so important.
Yes. So when a planet goes Kazemi, what happens is that it meets the sun. And traditionally, the sun is the center. It's the king. And so what happens every year is the sun will meet Jupiter and then it'll go around its merry way and then come back to Jupiter. So at the Kazemi, Jupiter is old. It's almost like it's limping. And Jupiter is the planet of abundance, good fortune, luck, opportunity. Now, also overindulgence, arrogance. Jupiter rules judges, the truth, religion, celebrities, things like that. And so it's old and it's kind of not able to do exactly what it wants to do in the best way. But then it meets the sun and it's a rebirth. And so the sun burns off all the old stories in order to start a new cycle. And when a planet goes Kazemi, this is a great time to note where you can think about just asking for abundance. Ask the universe for whatever things you want to manifest and have hope and faith that good things are available to you is the best way to use this. Hope and faith.
Hope and faith. And this is May 18th. Okay.
Yeah.
And asking for what we want.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Before we move on to the next one, for all you Tauruses out there, we have a very special gift for you. We have your year ahead birthday report, and you can actually get 20% off of that up until May 20th. So you would have to get that birthday report sometime during Taurus season between now and May 20th. And all you have to do is go to astrologyhub.com/astrologyreport and put in the discount code 20TAURUS to get 20% off that full year ahead report. It's going to tell you all the personalized information about the transits coming up, the opportunities, questions to ask yourself, all kinds of really amazing things. So go check that out. All right. So Celeste, let's go to May 19th. So the next day, so we have May 18th and then we have May 19th, the sun sextile Neptune, also Mars conjunct the North Node. So this sounds like a big one.
Yes. And one thing I should also say about Jupiter is Jupiter educates. It rules universities and a big part of the action that we're seeing and a lot of where the tension will be on college campuses. The big Jupiter-Uranus conjunction was all about what started at Columbia and has spread out to other places. So we are going to continue seeing a lot of things. And this is in line with this trend. This is a lot of where graduation ceremonies are supposed to be. And some colleges may be canceling them or postponing them and things like that. Oh. Jupiter Kazemi, there may be some action around there. I love mundane astrology, watching how these transits come to life. So pay attention to what you see there in the news, if you follow the news and on college campuses. And the sun sextile Neptune offers us the opportunity to have compassion for others. People may be extra sensitive. If you are doing escapist things, the sun spotlights things and can bring it to our conscious attention. And Neptune in Pisces, whether it's scrolling never endingly on your phone or indulging in substances or whatever, something may come to your conscious attention, not for you to be down on yourself, but for healing, in order to have some compassion for yourself. But with Mars taking the action to doing some, if you need to do some healing or whatever it is that you need to do for the self to be better, is how you can use this energy.
So we may be inclined towards things that distract us, but that we have an opportunity to actually address those things instead of indulging in that inclination. Yes?
Yes. That's a great way to use it.
Okay, great. All right. Now let's talk about May 23rd with the Sagittarius full moon. What would you like us to be aware of with that?
Yes. Oh, I think we forgot to say the new moon on May 7th. Did we forget the new moon on May 7th?
We did forget the new moon on May 7th. I thought it was just not that notable.
So we had a new moon in Taurus on May 7th, which is when you can set the intentions about those one or two things that you really want to focus on in order to simplify. You know, we're keeping it simplified and we're integrating and moving forward. And then we have the full moon in Sagittarius that is expansive, opportunistic. Sagittarius is mutable fire. It is like, can you believe and feel that you have the ability to expand? The sun at this time will be in Gemini. So there's all this stuff about our integrating our heart's passions with our mind's thoughts, but we really want to make sure we're being discerning about what we're taking on rather than just going off in all kinds of different directions. We still want to keep that simplicity mindset as we're moving forward at this full moon. But what comes to your conscious attention about your belief systems, about your relationship with abundance, and what you see as opportunities?
Sounds like we need to put simplicity up like on the wall somewhere.
Yes.
In our bathroom window, or on like the whiteboard in your office and on the refrigerator. The whole point this month is really to keep it simple, which I have a Gemini moon, so I can tend to go in the other direction. So it's good reminders. Okay, let's talk next about Jupiter entering Gemini. This is a big one, right?
This is huge. Jupiter changes signs every year. And in Gemini, it's in the sign of its detriment, where it doesn't really like to be. So this is why like preparing for this is so important with the simplicity message, because once Jupiter gets in Gemini, it's an air sign, air scatters. So you really want to not just let yourself get scattered all over the place. Jupiter makes everything bigger. For one thing, I want people to be conscious about not letting yourself get too much in your thought processes, just letting your mind go wild is something that can happen, because we are in a time that's destabilizing in a lot of ways, where Pluto's in Aquarius, changing the collective in a lot of ways through technology, AI, all of this kind of stuff. Saturn's in Pisces. We can let our fears get a little bit out of control. And then once Jupiter goes into Gemini, we get closer in the US to the election season, and you're getting bombarded with messages that may not even be true and exaggerations. So this is why it's so important. The word for Jupiter in Gemini is discernment.
And this is May 25th.
Yes.
And it lasts for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So discernment, fact checking, not letting yourself get carried away with what you're hearing. Okay. What is Jupiter in Gemini good for? So if we're looking at Jupiter being in Gemini for a year, what is it helpful for? What can it help us with?
Journaling. using it to be more expansive with your thinking. If you're someone who has thought processes that are focused on lack, can you bring some more abundance into it? If you have any writing projects you want to do, this is amazing energy for writing. If you want to do some speaking, like consider something like Toastmasters, where you educate yourself in order to be a better public speaker. They have groups all over the world who do Toastmasters, where you practice in a safe container about speaking on topics more impactfully. That would be a great thing to do for you. Gemini rules like local environments, like our neighborhoods. So maybe instead of taking a trip to Europe or Africa or across the world for holidays, think about exploring in your local environment. Just get in the car, drive three towns away. You may find the best shop you never knew existed or little nooks and crannies throughout your state or city that are places you haven't explored before. Jupiter explores.
Okay, we're going to go into the sun and rising sign details here very shortly. First, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done that yet. Second, Celeste is going to be our inner circle astrologer for the Taurus lunar cycle, and she's going to be teaching a mastery class on secondary progressions. Correct, Celeste?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so tell us a little bit real briefly for our inner circle students out there what they're going to be learning in this mastery class.
So you're going to be learning all about secondary progressions. It's a technique that advances the chart based on age. It's particular to the native, meaning your natal chart and your progressions are unique to you. The transits are we are all experiencing the same transits. We're all under one sky, but your progressions are unique to you. And you'll learn about how to use them to understand what's going on with you now and what's going to be coming up with you next. You can also use them to look back at what has happened before. And you will be amazed about, oh my God, my progressed moon was in my fifth house. And that's when I started dating so-and-so or met my boo or whatever. So yeah, they're really incredible.
Okay, so it's good for looking ahead and getting a sense for what's going to happen. And it's good for looking back and and seeing patterns in your life. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's go into the horoscopes for all signs.
Great. So for Aries, listen for your sun and your rising sign. So whether you're an Aries sun or an Aries rising, this is an opportunity to heal the wound, rewrite your story, and make a practical plan on how you want to invest in yourself, whether it's investing financially, investing your time, or whatever. Okay, so for Taurus, you are the belle of the ball. This is your season. You're having a new moon in your first house energy. So can you have the confidence, if you want to be more powerful in your career, to make the advancements, people are willing to invest in you. So will you show up or will you hide in the shadows? Because Taurus energy can have a core wound about self-esteem or self-confidence. So it's a great time to heal that. For Gemini, slow down. Get extra rest. Because Jupiter's coming to your sign, and that is going to bring more and more and more in your sign. So this is a great time to do that. And think about, have you outgrown friends or groups or a circle that you might need to use your sword to kindly but constructively extricate yourself from? Cut ties with class if they're necessary. For Cancer, it's a great time to network. To build long-term income from your career is something you can be thinking about if that's of interest to you. And if you want a mentor and you work for someone, talk to your boss about getting a mentor. You may be surprised. Ask, believe, receive. You'll be amazed. Your wishes may come true. For Leo, there's potential for advancements at work. Ask your boss for resources. If you want to take a class or get a certification, this is a great time to think about starting that. And with your partner, lovingly discuss the elephant in the closet. If there's something that you all know is there, but don't talk about, you want to do that because talking about it will avoid the war of the roses. For Virgo, invest in yourself. take a class, go on a trip or plan a trip. Yeah, you always are sacrificing for everyone else. This is a great time to think about doing something just for you. Maybe even a spiritual retreat would be lovely. For Libra, Libras, since last summer, when the South Node went into Libra, Libras have a call, sun or rising, to clear out the debris that's no longer needed. So this is a good time. You may find that you're ready to start therapy or couples therapy if needed, or maybe you just need a new oracle or tarot deck to tap into your consciousness a different way. Yeah, examine your shadows and transform your self-expression. A big thing for the South Node being in Libra, letting go of people-pleasing, going along to get along, and speaking more courageously. For Scorpios, it's a great time to work on making changes for more loving relationships with your partner. If you're single and you want a new partner, get out there and mingle. Your home life may also be transforming, and you can transform it in little ways. Think about having fresh flowers every week for yourself. It's a great thing to do with this energy. For Sagittarius, focus on your health. Set intentions to, like, specifically sugar. Do you need to get some sugar out of your diet, whether it's sugary drinks or sugar? You might want to think about that. Also, consider your words. Sometimes, you know, you're very funny and charming and all the things, but words can sometimes hurt. So think about your self-expression. For Capricorns, invest in fun. All work and no play can get really old. Plan a vacation, have date nights, get back into hobbies, or at least spend more time doing things that are investing in fun. Spend some more time with your children or have a child if you're interested. Aquarius, home beautification projects are great for this. Do you want to move? Are you happy where you are? You're inventing yourself from the inside out, Aquarius. So this is a long process. There's no need to rush it, but keep that in mind that that is going on for you. For Pisces, I want you really to talk to yourself lovingly. Spend time with siblings. This is a great time to start a journaling process. Your local environment. If your car needs any kind of service, this is a good time to take care of your transportation issues.
Celeste, that was so helpful. It was so, like, clean and clear and concise. What were you mainly, and just this is for my astrology students out there, what were you mainly looking at as you went through all the signs to do an overview of the entire month and how it's best for each of our sun and rising?
Yes, for where the new moon was falling in each of the signs.
Okay.
And the aspects that are happening with that, looking at Pluto, where it is, Mars, where it is, and all of that.
Amazing. That was very skillfully done. So thank you for that. I hope that all of you found that helpful. And you can, what I like about it is the theme for the month is simplicity and integration. And that was even a very simple prescription for each sign for how we can really align our energy and efforts with this lunar cycle. So
yes.
Brilliant. Can't wait for more of that in the inner circle as you're our guidess for the Taurus season. And any closing thoughts, Celeste, anything else that you want us to take with us as we go into the month of May and journey throughout this time period?
There is just some beautiful, beautiful energy with Venus and Jupiter. They're both the benefics in the sign of Taurus, which is very sensual and embodied and can be grounded. So adding in any things that help you ground will be really helpful, whether it's through breath practices, whether it's through things like yoga and Pilates or whatever, just walking, Tai Chi, I think running your feet in the grass, all of these kinds of things. As the weather gets warmer for most people, this energy, the flowers start blooming and growing. Look around, look for signs and signals because beautiful things are available for us. I think the energy is so much more positive than it was last month.
Yeah, April was a doozy. All right. Well, this is good, good news for all of us. And thank you, Celeste, for so beautifully and brilliantly walking us through the major transits of the month. And thanks all of you for being here, for being curious, for showing up, for integrating the gifts and the wisdom of astrology into your life. I hope that you found this useful and helpful. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. Check the show notes for the links that we talked about and make sure you subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you very soon. Take care, everybody. This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.